Hey everyone, this is Stelly FT.
And this is Heaton Shaw. And today on the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about how to be productive when you're working on a remote team.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
And you don't get that sort of office vibe or interaction in the same way as people do that go into an office.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about remote teams in the past, kind of how to build them, how to manage them. I think episode number 92, for those of you who are interested, how to build a kick-ass remote team was all about like how to hire the right people and how to communicate in a remote team. And but today we really want to focus on the individual. Like if you are a remote worker, what kind of habits, what kind of tactics, what kind of strategies can you use to be at your optimal level of happiness and productivity? The reason why we wanted to talk about this is, I increasingly I'm hearing this question. So I had a few discussions within our own team. We grew to 25 people that are all working remote. And just the last 2 weeks, I had a few conversations with people that were struggling with their own productivity being remote. But I also, in the last 2 weeks, have heard this a lot, kind of just talking to startup people on like, how can I help, how can I help others be more productive when they're remote and how can I be it myself? So I know you have a ton of experience working remotely, building remote teams. You're one of the pioneers in that space. So I want to just pick your brain and chit-chat about that and share some of our advice to people. What's the first thing that comes to your mind? If I came to you and I told you I work in a remote team, I'm a remote worker, what are some of the best practices you've seen, Heaton, that I could apply and use to be really productive and happy, although I'm remote?
Yeah, what really comes to mind is more discipline. And, and the reason I say that is when you're on when you go to an office every day, you have all these people around you that are working as well, usually. I'm kidding. It's literally people around you that are working. They're sitting at their desk. They're, are getting on the phone if it's like a sales team, and they're really committed to getting the work done. And you can feel that in an office. Like there's a lot of structure. The structure is you go in at a certain time, then you leave at a certain time, you eat at a certain time. Many times in a lot of offices, the food is catered for you, or, other people are also going. So you have all this structure. And all this structure is what leads to sort of what we consider making us productive in an office environment, because there's a time for doing different things. When you're working remotely, you have a lot more choices. So you can decide to start working earlier or later. You can go stop in the middle of the day and go do whatever you want. The amount of freedom you have is ridiculous because nobody's watching over you and there's no specific norm that you have to follow. This is every remote team I know of. I know there are like morning meetings and all this stuff and remote this and remote that and schedule this, schedule that. But at the end of the day, the amount of flexibility you have is insanely high. Like literally on most days, nobody would probably know if you were sitting there in your underwear working. And that's probably my most extreme example. While in office environment, for the majority of offices out there, you just wouldn't do that. And so to me, it's just like you need this higher level of discipline to be able to control your time, manage your time, bucket your time, whatever it is you want to call it, so that you're actually doing things and putting in the time to work. I know that sounds crazy. So it's the discipline to have the proper time management is, I think, just the first thing that comes to my head. Everyone that I know that's failed at it, they just weren't able to get that right. They weren't able to get motivated to work on things without having that office environment.
That's crazy. It's interesting that you mention discipline here. Because this kind of reminds me of a quote from a guy that's like a big guy in jiu-jitsu. And he's actually a very small, geeky-looking person. So he's not like physically imposing at all. He's a very smart, kind of intellectual personality. But he strangles people for a living, right? He's the master of the art of like getting you down on the floor and then taking over you, no matter how strong or big you are. And he said a quote that always stayed with me, which is basically, people think like people would never associate discipline with freedom, but the only way to freedom is through discipline, right? And when you think about it, when most people think about discipline, it feels like a chore, something that's forced. Oh my God, I need to be like this very robotic character and I need to be doing... And freedom seems like the ability to live life and do whatever you just, you know, whatever you want. But if you don't have discipline, you cannot do the things you want. Like, you want to write the book, but you don't have the discipline to write it, so you don't. You want to go and, you know, travel, or you want to take a break and work out, or you want to work on this project, or you want to, you know, tell a friend something. Like, you want to do things in life, but you never have the follow through and the focus and the commitment to do these things that you want to do. So you're always kind of a victim of your own emotions and circumstance versus being completely in control of what your direction and destination and what you want. And thinking of discipline as the way to freedom, I find kind of a very refreshing way of thinking about it. So I feel like the freedom that comes with remote work, which is immense, is only tapped into if you use discipline to unlock it. If you don't have discipline and you work remotely, your life is going to be much harder and actually much more miserable, right?
Yeah, totally agree. I mean, it's like you just won't feel motivated. I mean, discipline, motivation, there go together, right? And it's like the freedom a remote team member has, or even a company that's remote, is incredible. It's like something you... If you really think about it, it's as close as you get to like before you had to go to school as a kid, any school, because school is what created the structure. Your first real structure for most people is school. After that is work. But yet remote work is a lack of structure in terms of you get to decide what you do with your time more often than not. So I can't stress this enough. Like, I think that if you feel like you cannot manage your own time by yourself, working in a remote team is going to be almost impossible.
So let's say you are good at managing your time, or you learn how to get better at that. By the way, if somebody asks you, how do I get better at it? How do I learn? Today I'm struggling and I'm not that disciplined, or I'm not that good at managing my own time. I want to change that. What's the number one piece of advice you would give for somebody to get better at it?
Most people just need to time box and say, at these times, I'm going to do these things. You know, and schedule, like put it on the calendar that you're going to work. Instead of having empty calendar time, put in the calendar when you're going to do what. Plan the day before, or right when you wake up in the morning, and actually see if you can stick to it. And then get good at that. Find your system, whether it's Google Calendar or alarms on your phone or whatever it is, so that you can stick to it. Look, in general, we aren't very structured. Like, just as humans, like, it's just not as, we're not structured. It's not like how most people think about their day. So, you know, even if you're good at it, you can probably get better at it, especially in a remote environment. So I think this applies to even your other question, to me at least. So for example, sometimes I'll just set alarms, like, to know that, oh, we have to do this at this time, or I have to do this at this time, and it's some work thing, right? Another approach I've used is, like, because, you know, for me, like, setting these calendar things doesn't always work. It hasn't been very effective. So between alarms on my phone, and then I literally am just writing out the things I want to do today on a to-do list early in the day, right when I sort of get started working, I write down first what I want to do. And then it's just stupid, but like that feeling of crossing it off is great. It's just great. So then it's just like a game of how much can I cross off that list, right? And you know, there's a lot of tactics there, like they say about to-do lists, like, only do three because you're only going to get those three done. I actually have a way longer to-do list I create every morning when I really want to be super hyper-productive and don't really know what I'm going to do that day. So this really applies for me on days where they feel less structured. I'll create that list. And that list is really helpful. It even helps in an office environment, to be honest with you. It doesn't really apply just to remote worker or remote work. Those are my kind of tips if you're not good at it. Find the right way. Whether it's a calendar, alarms on your phone, or just starting your day or your work every time you sit down to work with some list. The list is probably the most powerful thing. And that can also make you more productive, even if you're pretty good at this.
So what about the human interaction, right? Let's talk a little bit about that. Because when you're remote, you don't physically at least interact with the other humans you are working with, right? So your team members, there's a lot of communication typically electronically, right? Email, Slack, chat, you know, GitHub, whatever the hell it is. So you're communicating a lot with your coworkers, but you're not seeing them, you're not feeling them, you don't have that visual stimulation of them sitting around, you don't get the energy from other people. Now, some people don't really care about that. I feel like some people are really good at just, and they're at their best and at their most productive when they just go into their home office and it's just them and they work through everything and then they spend time with their family or their friends for that human touch. But there's a lot of people, and I would venture to say people in marketing, in sales, in success, in other roles than pure engineers that might be just by design and by character trait, just better at not needing as much human interaction. A lot of these other people, they might miss interacting with other people when they are working remote, even if they're disciplined and they manage their time well, and they don't have a problem of being productive per se in terms of work, but they might feel kind of down or outright lonely at work, quote unquote, because during those 8 hours of work, they just don't have enough human interaction. Do you think that that's a real problem? Do you think that that's just people are not used to that type of work? What's your take on that? And have you seen any interesting ways to you know, deal with that?
Yeah, I think you have to find your way culturally as a company. This is not just an individual sort of situation. I think this has a lot to do with the company culture. For me, the things that I've seen work is like eventually a personality or a culture develops in a remote company, whether it's the things that happen in Slack, if you're using Slack, or the jokes that get thrown around in email, the sarcasm, things like that. So a lot of this has to do with the collective personality, I would say, as I would call it, that develops over time. Some of it also has to do with how the company likes to celebrate things as a remote team, which I think is a really important piece of it. So you might be thinking, oh, this is my problem as a remote team member. What I would tell you to do is just look at the company you're working at and think about like all the things you do that are not really work, whether it's the gifts that get flown around, or like I said, the jokes that get thrown around, the sarcasm, the personality. A real easy exercise here is if you had to write out the personality of the company that you work at, what would it be? And that can be really valuable to help you understand. Because like, look, in a remote team, you're not working next to somebody. You're working next to the company. You're actually working in the company, but like the company is a personality as a collective. And so I tend to think of it more like that. Because the company itself has a personality and it's a very, you know, it's very like internal. That's the secret. That's the key. That's the thing that will help you sort of not feel so lonely, because you have to remember that all these interactions are building that sort of camaraderie, and it can be done remotely, and it is being done right now. Like right now, even in your company, Stelly, there's 25 people. It's happening, whether you know it or not, right? It's just happening. It's just two people talking, you know, laughing about something that like it's not. It's happening, you know, and you have to take joy in that as a remote team member. Joy in the fact that like you don't need to be physically next to somebody or in the same office in order to create that. And you are part of that. You get to create it. It's actually a very special thing compared to the office or a office, in my opinion. It's much different, but I consider it special.
It's awesome. I've never thought about, like, I love the phrasing of if you had to write out the personality of the company, what would it be? I love that. Like thinking about the company, because a lot of times we ask that question in a different way, like what's the culture of the company? But I feel like if you humanize the entire company, you ask for the personality of that. I feel like that kind of totally changes the framing and the way of thinking. So I'll use that question, try to answer it myself and also ask other people about that. But that's awesome. I love that. Let me ask you, because this is the first company that I've ever built that's remote. And, you know, we've made a lot of mistakes. We made a lot of things right. We're enjoying it. This is exciting. I'm happy about this. And it's a journey, right? We're constantly learning. But I only have experience in this based on what we have done and what I've read about this. But you've been around this for such a long time, and you are actively involved as an advisor in some of the biggest remote companies in technology today, I would say. So you've just a lot of pattern recognition, a lot of data from the past. In your experience, I'm curious, have people and companies gotten better at being great at remote work and creating remote environments over the years? Or Has it always been the same? It's just more tools? Like, is it something where it's like, just like the industrial age, where when people went from farming to working at factories, there was just like a lot of learnings on how that shift has to happen and how people can be productive industrial workers and how industrial companies can be good employers? Is it just like a transitional phase where we need to learn a lot and experiment and make mistakes? Or do you view this in a different way? Do you think that, you know, the companies you saw in the early days work remote, when they were good at it, they were just as good and they were doing the same fundamental things that the companies today that are good at this?
Yeah, that's a loaded question. I really like it. Thanks for asking that. I'm sure you have your thoughts. Mine's pretty straightforward. It's so early. It's terribly early. It's just terribly early. And I say terrible just because until like maybe a year ago, 2 years ago, let's say 1 to 2 years ago, until a year ago, I hadn't started seeing adoption of tools that were specifically designed for remote teams.
Mm.
And that is a sign that I don't think that's a sign that this is mature. I think that's a sign that this is very early. Yeah. I mean, I invested in it. I advise companies that are remote, but also a few of these tools. And they're very specifically noticing that there is a remote use case with their tool that is the primary use case. And, you know, an example, not a company I'm involved in, but one that I found fascinating over the last year is Zoom. That company, Zoom, I would call them the video conferencing company. So many teams would have that thing on all the time, or very often, or even do their remote team meetings with it, where you could see everyone's face and you could share, you know, presentations. But it was so much nicer than any other method you could use. It was way nicer. It's way nicer than Google Hangouts. It's not even that great of a product, to be honest. I'm being a product person, putting my product hat on. There's all kinds of issues with it. It's not much better than WebEx in a lot of ways. But at the end of the day, the fact that they let you have a heads-up display of humans and be able to see presentations at the same time, that in a way that Hangouts should have done and never did, made it like really amazing for remote teams. I saw so every remote team I know uses that.
It's crazy. Basically. We're using that too.
Yeah. Yeah. So they've taken over. But that use case is really, in my opinion, one of the key reasons that business even works is because remote teams started adopting it and then they started using it for all the other use cases. Obviously now it's much more mature. Sequoia Capital has put money in. It's a larger business. They're going after all kinds of other use cases. But at the end of the day, you know, the thing that got them here is the fact that you started seeing all these remote teams using it and all these people that had those use cases, even if they're not fully remote teams. So I think it's super early. I think the systems are awful today, not Zoom, but just in general, not the tools, just the systems, the way we do this. Every remote company I see, not every, but like the majority of remote companies I see are very inefficient. And I don't mean inefficient compared to an office team because that has different inefficiencies. But in a lot of ways, it's just a whole different model. People don't understand how to work in a remote team and people don't understand how to facilitate the work that needs to happen. Now, all that being said, if you think about all the software we use today, regardless of whether you're a remote team or not, especially inside of like tech companies or tech-enabled companies, it's all remote software. It's all software that we can use at our own desk, which means we can use it at our own homes, right? So I see the world changing at a much faster clip right now than ever before. Also, when you think about how many people are doing freelancing and the growth rate in freelancing and side gigs and all these kind of things like that, it's tremendous. It is unlikely that in the future companies are going to get started without remote team members. That's the day I'm waiting for. But it's at some point, this is just going to be a norm. And especially, you know, I know you and I are in the Bay Area. Your team's remote. All my teams are remote too. But the people around here have a high resistance to it. What I mean by around here is venture-backed, VC-funded companies tend to hate having remote team members. It's just a general rule. But if you look around, most of these companies don't have it. Even Yahoo, you know, when Marissa Mayer came in, she basically kiboshed the whole remote work stuff at Yahoo. That was a massive hit on the whole company as a whole because they were built on that in a lot of ways. Right or wrong doesn't matter, but this is what happens because there are people out there that don't believe remote can be done well. And that goes back to the point of, no, it's not being done well. And yes, we've improved, but it's ridiculously awful. Like as to like how little we know about even psychology and humans and how remote work impacts them, right? The thing we just talked about was, the sort of loneliness. We don't know anything about that yet. I haven't seen a single study on it yet.
It's interesting. You're right. There's not a lot of research on like remote work and how it affects psychology and biochemistry of humans and all that type of stuff. Because it's still a very new field.
Yeah, we don't know how
field.
It changes us.
Yeah, and it's so niche. I mean, it's still so niche that there's not a lot of attention, a lot of energy going, but it's increasing, and there's going to be a tipping point.
One engineer that I've worked with for 12 years, I've seen him literally 10 times in person.
Wow.
Yeah, right? And he's an engineer. I've worked with him for 12 years, you know, like worked on literally like, you know, 75% of the products I've built, you know, like only seen him 10 times.
That's crazy. That's insane for 99% of all humans on this planet. Like even thinking about working with somebody intimately and closely for over 12 years on the most important projects of your life and having seen him like, you know, to a handful, to 10 times.
Yep.
Right? Or that
10 times,
time.
Dude. 10 times.
It's crazy. Yep. All right. Yep. So I can't help myself, right? So I have at least one more question that's a little out there. So I don't know where this is going to lead us, but this is part of
that's
why
fine.
We do this podcast.
Seems like an important episode. So let's go for it.
So, we all know about office politics, right? When you put a good amount of humans in one place and you have them spend every day with each other, oftentimes they are groups that are building. Sometimes it might be that it's, based on the department or this and that, but even within teams, there's going to be groups of people that like each other more and spend more time with each other. And maybe then it creates these tribal little groups or it creates these rumors. There's also, I don't know, when you put a lot of humans in one space over a long period of time, it seems like it's so much easier to have this casual conversation, oftentimes even about things that are not work-related. So, you know, the rumor mills and this person, you know, and also kind of interpersonal things. This person at the Christmas, the famous Christmas party where people hook up when they're drunk and all that stuff. You take the office away. What does that do for politics within remote teams? What have you seen? Because, I'm just curious about that. Does that kill politics or does it just, is it the same amount but different or is it a small amount? Well, what's your observations or your thoughts on how does not having an office and being completely remote, how does that affect kind of the amount of, group building, politicking, rumors and all that type of stuff within a business?
It's definitely different. I wouldn't say it's reduced. I'd say in many ways it's harder to discover. It's because especially if you're not regularly asking people on your one-on-ones, like very critical questions oriented around that, like how are you feeling, right? Did you have a bad day this week, you know, at all? And was it something that someone else did? Like, I mean, these are things you don't ask people, right? You don't even ask people in an office environment. Usually in an office environment, someone walks in the office and you know whether it's going to be a great day for them or not. While in a remote team, like you have to, there's different cues you have to decipher. Right. Like, and you're always guessing is actually another true I'd say. So for example, if someone's always like on time to meetings and then three meetings in a row, they're a little bit late or they don't show up, like something's wrong. Right. And I mean like remote meetings, right. In an office, usually you have way earlier indicators for that. Like they're just not coming in right to the office period or whatever. You don't see them or whatever. Another issue that comes up is like when we listen to each other and when we talk, we can extenuate and we have like, there's just a lot more to your voice than when you type. And I know people say, you can get a lot gets lost in translation with typing. And that's totally true. And the remote teams have a huge issue with that. That's why I like video often. I like audio as well with remote teams. I'm not like a stickler in any way about any of that stuff, but those kind of things really help you understand how someone's feeling. Because if you see them on video and they look shitty, you know, they're having a shitty day and you can ask, I'll stop the meeting and be like, yo, you okay? Like everything okay? You know, like what's going on? And then usually they spill, you know, and talk about it. So I think we have an onus on, you know, on these teams that are remote to really, you know, pay attention when we get the opportunity. Because in an office environment, we get the opportunity all the time. In a remote environment, we don't. And so what ends up happening, and that's more like personal, right? Like somebody personally having something going on.
Yeah.
In terms of politics, the rumors can spread then, right? It's like, imagine if nobody said anything. Well, some of the reasons I say something is if everyone's thinking it, that someone's having a bad day and nobody says it,
Yeah. Then
there's a rumor. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
There will be a rumor. I can guarantee you, as long as there's like five people on that call, they'll be like, oh, Ian looked like shit. What's going on with him? Right? And then I'm like, let's go ask him.
Yeah.
But usually in the meeting, I'll go ask him, right? Like, for example, Ian actually is one of our designers on one of our teams, and like he has a beard going on. So for the last four or five meetings, I'm going to have one right after this, actually. Well, for the last four or five meetings, this beard just keeps growing. So right when we get on the call, and this Ian has not had a beard in years. So right when we get on the call, it's like, oh, damn, Ian, look at that beard. You know, and then there's like 3 minutes of like, you know, not making fun of his beard, but basically making fun of his beard, right? And we're talking about it. But like those kind of things, like in a way, it's really special because you wouldn't necessarily do it like that and have that collective sort of camaraderie or like team building happen that instantly in an office environment in the same way. It's different. It happens, but it's different, right? And so I think that type of stuff builds. The politics ends up growing if someone just doesn't point out things that you see, because, and here's the reason, it's the amount of face-to-face in terms of like remote face-to-face or video interactions you have in a remote team are much less than seeing someone's face in an office, right? So every time you do that, I would spend the extra, and this is just like, I guess my tip on this, but I would spend extra time just watching for those cues, because I think that's one of the biggest issues I've seen, which is you don't get that. So it's harder to understand how someone's feeling. If you start guessing, then that can lead to rumors and politics and all this other stuff. Because it's different type of politics than an office environment. Office environment, literally, we can touch each other. I mean, I'm not saying we should, but like we can. Right?
That's what we should.
So that creates a whole different type of politics, a whole different type of cultural environment compared to like, you know, in a remote team when like, you know, you have a lot of text, a lot of potential for misrepresentation, misinterpretation, things like that, and you know, a lot less interaction around like audio and video and non-text, because text is one of those things that can be is misinterpreted the most. I include email in that. You know that email where you thought she was angry and she wasn't, right? Or you know, you thought she was sad and she wasn't, or you thought he was getting mad at you, but he actually wasn't. He was just being direct because he was in a rush to go pick up his kids from school, right?
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. Well, this was a fascinating one. I didn't know that we would end up where we are, but those are my favorite episodes when we don't know where we're going until we're there ourselves. It's kind of, that's when you know we're unpacking shit. I think this topic is so important, and it's again, I can sense the trend and the change. Every city I go, I travel around the world, and more people are asking me, how do you build the remote team? How do you make the culture great? How can I be more productive as a freelancer or being remote? So this is a big, very important topic, looking into the future of how humans work and the quality of life they create for themselves and the way that we are productive and the way that we move the world forward. So I feel like there's still a lot to learn. There's a kind of the pioneering days. So this is super exciting, and part of why I want to build a remote company is that I believe this is a better way of doing things, and the way that the world is moving towards. So I want to be part of that, and I want to move that forward in the right direction. And I think that a lot of the tips and thoughts that you shared today will help others accomplish that. So I'm not going to even attempt to add a tip to this. We're just going to wrap this beautifully up at this point. One thing that I'll say to the listeners out there, if you're not on the Startup Chat email list yet, make sure to go to thestartupchat.com, put in your email. We started sending out more stuff, and we're going to do more interesting things moving forward. I promise it to you. But I think that's it from us for this episode, and we'll hear you guys very soon.
Cheers.